Dekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with a little help from Akatra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. You know, you probably think you know what a saint is, some historical figure, maybe associated with a miracle. You see them in marble or stained glass.
Right.
But today, we're going to kind of shatter that static image. We're diving into Simon Yarrow's Saints, a very short introduction, and it completely reframes sainthood. Not as a religious certainty, but as a shifting, dynamic social construct.
It's such a crucial distinction because if you only look at saints through a theological lens, you completely miss their incredible power as historical actors.
Yeah.
Yarrow shows us they are far from static. They're constantly being shaped, repurposed, and remade by the societies that venerate them.
And that's really our mission today, to move beyond piety and look at the sociology and the history of sainthood. I mean, why are saints such an enduringly potent force in human history? How did the idea survive persecution, political upheaval, even the Enlightenment?
Well, the answer Yarrow gives is, it's really pretty elegant. Saints function as mirrors of human ideals.
Mirrors of human ideals.
Yeah, they reflect back to us what a community values most. So if you study the evolution of who gets called holy, you actually have a direct window into the hopes, the fears, and the moral priorities of any given age.
Okay, I'm ready to unpack this. But first, let's talk about our guide. Who is Simon Yarrow, and why is he the perfect person to lead this investigation?
Simon Yarrow is a distinguished historian. He specializes in medieval history, and he's based at the University of Birmingham. But crucially, his field is hagiography.
Which is the critical study of saints.
Right? Exactly. The historical study of the cult of saints. And his background matters immensely because he is explicitly not approaching this as a theologian. He's not trying to prove or disprove the miracle stories.
Yeah, he's taking an objective stance.
Totally. His whole approach is objective analysis, rooted in historical evidence and social science. He's asking a functional question. How does sainthood actually work in the real world? You know, how are these stories and these figures used by everyone, from the powerful to the poor?
And that expertise lets him synthesize just this vast amount of information. I mean, from ancient Roman court records to modern Vatican documents. And he gives you a very practical view of what seems like this ethereal subject.
For sure. You get a sense of the sheer tangible impact these figures had on everything from like road construction to political legitimacy.
So this historical lens is key because the central premise of the book is that sainthood is this dynamic thing.
It's an adaptable toolkit, as he calls it, that's continuously molded by all these social, political, and cultural pressures. It just doesn't stay still.
So the book really demystifies the whole concept. It kind of removes the purely spiritual trappings to focus on the human need that's being met. He wants to explain why this belief has been such a persistent and powerful force.
And saints fulfill a core human requirement. They offer heroes, role models, and approachable intermediaries with the divine.
Like a direct line.
Exactly. When you feel powerless or insignificant, having a personal friend in heaven who can intercede for your family or your crop or your health, that's an incredibly powerful psychological comfort.
It takes the story of humanity's search for meaning and attaches it to specific people and specific objects. The book really takes us on this magnificent journey, tracking that search across two millennia.
And the journey charts the whole transition. From the earliest Christian martyr accounts in antiquity, through the demands of the medieval church, the challenges from reformers and rationalists, all the way up to contemporary figures who champion causes like social justice.
It's a remarkable demonstration of resilience.
It is. The idea of the saint just refuses to die. It just changes clothes.
Let's get into the specifics of that evolution, because this is where the changing face of society really becomes clear. Yarrow starts with the basic definition of a saint, a holy person who, after death, can intercede with God. But he immediately points out this tension.
Right. The top-down church view versus the messy, vital, bottom-up reality of popular devotion.
What's the difference there?
Well, the official church, it naturally wants to control who is venerated, right?
Yeah.
To maintain orthodoxy and authority. But for ordinary people, saints were. They were so much more vital and personal. They were regional protectors, personal patrons you could petition directly.
So they were the accessible face of the divine.
Exactly. providing local solutions to local problems far removed from the bureaucracy of Rome.
And the original model for holiness back in the age of persecution was simple and brutal, the martyr.
Right. Figures like Saint Perpetua, executed in Carthage around 203 AD, their public torturous deaths were the ultimate, undeniable testimony to their faith. The spectacle of their suffering was proof of their holiness.
So their tombs immediately became centers of worship. The first shrines.
The very first shrines. But martyrdom is a finite resource.
Yeah.
Once Christianity became official, you couldn't be a saint just by suffering a violent public death. So
yeah.
How did holiness adapt when that pathway was removed?
Right. What's the new model?
That's when the second model emerged, the ascetic. This meant withdrawing from the corruption of the world and waging a spiritual war internally through extreme self-denial and solitude.
These were the so-called white martyrs, figures like Saint Anthony of the Desert.
Precisely. They traded public brutality for private struggle, renouncing everything to battle their human frailties out in the wilderness. It set a new, rigorous standard for holiness, the saint as the ultimate spiritual warrior.
And as the church itself grew from this persecuted movement into a massive, continent-spanning institution, sainthood had to start serving administrative needs.
Yes, and so we see the rise of archetypes who embodied structure and civic leadership.
So you mean holiness wasn't just about struggling in a cave anymore, it was about building and governing.
Exactly. Take the holy bishop, like St. Martin of Tours. He was a spiritual guide, sure, but he was also a crucial civic administrator in the unstable post-Roman world. His holiness served to strengthen the institutional church. It linked spiritual authority directly to earthly civil power.
And then you have the monks and the missionaries.
Think of Saint Benedict. He basically provided the foundational blueprint for Western monasticism, all based on discipline and structured daily life. His holiness was tied to his ability to organize.
Right, to create order.
And then there's someone like Saint Patrick, whose holiness was tied to the physical expansion of Christendom. Holiness was now found in organization, authority, and successful expansion, because those were the needs of the time.
This brings us to a fascinating element Yarrow emphasizes. The cult of saints was profoundly material. It wasn't just an abstract idea. It was physical. It involved objects and places.
And this is where the concept of relics becomes so critical. These physical remains, a bone fragment, a piece of fabric, they weren't just memorials. They were believed to be literal conduits of spiritual power, making the saints' presence tangible and accessible.
And the hunger for these conduits created a huge enterprise. I mean, the trade in relics during the Middle Ages was staggering. It often involved pious theft, as you know, competing cathedrals raced to secure the most powerful remains to attract pilgrims and wealth.
Oh, it was a massive economic driver. And that tangible focus, in turn, fueled pilgrimage. Going to venerate relics, say at the tomb of St. James at Santiago de Compostela, was a huge social undertaking.
And Yarrow points out this was way more than just an act of piety.
For sure. It was a huge economic engine that created vast networks of roads, hospices, markets, financial systems that literally structured medieval European society.
So if sainthood started in the tombs of martyrs, evolved into this massive, decentralized material phenomenon, it's understandable that the institution eventually felt the need to step in and seize control.
Absolutely. Which brings us to the era of bureaucratization.
That transition is one of the most significant power shifts in church history. Sainthood started as informal, local acclamation, right? If the community said you were holy and miracles happened at your grave,
you were a saint. Simple as that. But from the 12th century, the papacy began asserting centralized control over this definition.
And that gave us the complex legalistic process we know as canonization.
Yes, the official, rigorous procedure. This is a crucial move. It consolidated papal authority, it ensured doctrinal orthodoxy, and it transformed the making of a saint from a messy community event into a formal, structured bureaucratic procedure.
Controlled entirely by Rome.
The ultimate top-down move to manage popular enthusiasm.
But even after all that, the Reformation, the Enlightenment, the rise of secularization, the need for saints persisted. How did the model adapt to the challenges of the modern age?
It adapted by shifting the focus inward and outward. You see the internal piety model, like Santa Teresa of Lisieux in the late 19th century. Her little way emphasized performing small, everyday actions with great love.
Making holiness attainable for the ordinary person.
Right. It was a response to the growing sense of the divine being distant. And then you have the 20th and 21st century model, the social justice martyr.
St. Oscar Romero is the perfect example.
The perfect example. The archbishop assassinated for speaking out against oppression in El Salvador. His holiness wasn't tied to solitary contemplation, but to active public advocacy and sacrifice for the vulnerable. The ideal saint is always reflective of contemporary moral challenges.
So what does this entire historical journey, when you look at it through Yarrow's lens, what does it mean for us today? Let's pull out the major thematic takeaways.
I think the first big one is the evolution of the ideal saint. The criteria for holiness changed so radically over time, from martyr to ascetic to civic leader to social activist. And this constant evolution reveals what a culture values most at that moment, or, you know, what they're afraid of losing.
That's such a powerful lens for looking at our own society. We may not canonize people, but we certainly create heroes. And when you look at who we celebrate today, the billionaires funding climate initiatives, the outspoken activists, the scientific pioneers, you're seeing the secularized version of this process.
Exactly.
The ideal hero always embodies what society is anxious about or aspiring toward.
And the second major theme is sainthood as a political construct. Saints were never just confined to the chapel. They were woven into the social fabric.
They unified communities.
They totally unified communities. You can't imagine the civic identity of a medieval city without it, its patron saint.
Mm-hmm.
And they legitimized political power. Kings would claim patronage from specific saints to sanctify their rule, linking their worldly authority to the divine.
And we see this today. Anytime a nation chooses a figure to put on its currency, or a corporation builds a mythology around its founder, when we choose a specific figure to anchor a national identity, we're using that same political function. We're using a heroic narrative to define a collective identity.
And finally, the third theme, which we saw throughout the whole historical evolution, is the constant interplay of official and popular religion. There's this perpetual, fascinating tension between the top-down rules of the church seeking control and the vibrant, often unruly, bottom-up devotional needs of the people,
who are just seeking a personal connection.
That's right. And this negotiation defines the entire history of the cult of saints.
You know, that tension reminds me of how modern cultural trends start. You have an official narrative from, say, a network versus a messy grassroots movement that takes off on social media. The control might shift, but that tension between the institutional voice and popular demand is constant.
Yarrow, being the great synthesizer he is, summarizes these complex dynamics with some wonderfully analytical and memorable lines.
Let's share a few of those lines that really capture the spirit of his work.
One of the central insights that really guides the entire book is this concept: saints are not born, they are made by the communities that need them.
Wow. That one line immediately transforms the whole discussion. It frames sainthood not as some preordained destiny, but as a reflection of social psychology and communal utility. It's a very functional way to view history.
And on the subject of the papacy seizing control, he notes, the shift from local acclamation to formal papal canonization was a profound transformation that turned the making of a saint from a community event into a complex legal and bureaucratic procedure.
That's such a concise explanation of consolidating central authority. It was a massive institutional rebranding, taking the definition of holiness away from the grassroots and centralizing it in Rome.
And finally, looking at our own time and the persistence of the concept, he suggests that modern secular society has not eliminated saints. It has simply changed their job description.
That really captures the idea that the human psychological need for moral exemplars is universal. We still need those figures who embody the very best of our moral possibilities for greatness, even if they aren't wearing a halo.
So how can we apply this incredibly rich historical and sociological lens to the way we view the world around us?
Well, for me, one major application is just understanding cultural heritage. The book provides the key to understanding the stories behind so many fundamental elements of Western society. I mean, why are certain cities named the way they are? Why were cathedrals built where they were? It all orbits around the economic and spiritual gravity of relic cults.
And crucially, the book provides a powerful lens for the sociology of heroes.
Mm.
Yarrow's analysis of how saints are made through curated narratives, hagiography, is exactly how we create and venerate modern celebrities, sports stars, or political icons today.
Right.
We simplify their complexity and we craft an iconic narrative that supports our own prevailing values.
It's the ancient equivalent of modern branding and PR.
Absolutely. And a third key application involves leadership and moral authority. The saints who succeeded and endured, like Saint Francis, who defined his life through poverty and service, they embodied consistent values and profound personal sacrifice. Yarrow's work demonstrates that authentic, lasting authority, whether it's religious or secular, requires a visible alignment between personal integrity and public advocacy. When the message and the life match up, the authority is timeless.
You know, this deep dive fundamentally changed how I view faith history. What struck me most was the profound materiality of belief. For centuries, it wasn't an abstract concept. The spiritual was experienced through physical objects like relics, bones, clothes, dirt, and through physical acts like walking hundreds of miles on pilgrimage. It just makes the past feel so much more immediate and tangible.
For me, the most valuable insight is the enduring adaptability of the concept. The human need for figures who embody our moral possibilities for greatness. It's universal, regardless of the historical moment. And Yarrow shows that the cult of saints is history's most successful, long-lasting, and flexible response to that fundamental human need. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekantra Foundation.